great hymn focusing upon the Lord's. Uh-oh, did I push something? My bad. Let's see if we can do this. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and sing while we get that figured out. Sorry about that. I pushed something. We'll go ahead and sing number 460, He Leadeth Me. What a blessed thought. Service with a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for just a wonderful afternoon. Your creation. Thank you for the many ways you bless us and provide for us. Thank you for bringing everyone here this evening safely. I ask that you prepare our hearts for the message that you have for us. And I ask that you lead God to bless us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, mercy, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we were waiting with eager anticipation for an update, and we're going to be ministered to in song from the Davises. And so they are no strangers, and they need no introduction here in a few moments, but I'm really excited just to hear what God has done. They've got some testimonies to share. It really is always a blessing, and just it ought to just encourage us to be faithful witnesses for the Lord. And if we want to be the missionaries or the evangelists that God wants us to be, really, it's a call for a personal change in our lives. And so let's go over and turn over to number 397. We're just asking the Lord to do with us in a greater way than what we've experienced in the past. And that's not living by sight. That requires us to live by faith. So I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. This can be true through the power of Jesus Christ. Let's sing it out, rejoicing. Let's go ahead and stand. number 397.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the saints unhung on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. And still I'll pray till heaven I bow. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Our next song is over at 392, and it asks a simple question. Who is on the Lord's side? And we have an opportunity to say, we are on the Lord's. Savior, we're thine. And so let's pledge our commitment to Him. As we look through this song, it really is a great encouragement to us. We'll sing it at a pretty good pace so we can get through it. It's kind of a longer song, but it really is a joyful. Let's think deeply about these words.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? By Thy call of mercy, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine. Not for weight of glory, not for crown and palm, enter we the army, raise the warrior's song. But for love that claimeth lives for whom He died, He whom Jesus nameth must be on His side. By Thy love constraining, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine. Jesus, Thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with Thine own life blood for Thy diadem. With Thy blessing filling each who comes to Thee, Thou hast made us willing, Thou hast made us free. By Thy grand redemption, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are Thine. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round His standard raging, victory is secure, for His truth unchanging makes His triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are Thine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Claire, for exalting our Savior who was born to die. Praise the Lord for that. We're going to have the Davises come at this time, and they're going to sing for us, and they're also going to be able to see some of the slides and the pictures and the faces of those that they were able to witness to, and many of them that you see in these pictures have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through their ministry, and always amazed at them as they have continued in the the experienced years of their ministry, they have only continued to pick up more responsibilities and more outreach, and just really excited about what God has in store for them in this next year. I'm excited to hear what God's word that He's laid upon their hearts. So.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We have a little slide presentation that's going to run in the background as we sing one of our favorite hymns. Mm-hmm. So these actually are pictures that came from this year's ministry across the U.S. And hopefully it'll all work together.
If everything goes together.
For His glory and honor.
Is it working? Is it working?
I love to tell the story. Advancing things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I long to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to me. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to what seems each time I tell it, more wonderful is He. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Story will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story
This gentleman here, we met him, Omar and his girlfriend Ziti, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the state fair this summer. And when they first came up to the booth, he was all laughing and joking. Both of them were, actually. When I went through the three doors about, see, three things God cannot do, they laughed and he hawed through most of it. When I even asked him if they were 50, 75, or 100% sure they were going to heaven, they were just laughing, oh, yeah, who knows, it's a big deal, yeah. And they laughed all their way after I asked them if they would mind me just sharing what the Bible had to say. They laughed their way in and sat down. So I started sharing the gospel with them. They laughed even as I told them about sin and how we're all sinners. In fact, Omar pointed down at that picture there, and he said, oh, yeah, I've done all them 100 times and plus. And they were, you know, listening, though. Because when I shared with them that sin has consequences, and the consequences are an eternal lake of fire, then he just kind of hung his head. And he said, I need this. He stopped laughing. Then as I shared how a person can know that they're born again, how they can know that they're on their way to heaven, how they can know they have their sins forgiven, he just kind of hung his head in his hands. As I shared with them and came to an invitation time and said, so can I ask, you understand you're a sinner, obviously. Do you believe Jesus died to pay for your sins? He put his head in his hands. He was just crying, just bawling, tears running down his face. And he said, what do I do? So he prayed and asked Jesus to be his Savior. My wife has got a couple of testimonies. That one just, it was really just amazing to watch what God was doing in his heart.
Now, there's so many you can share, but I just picked two out. And the first one, she isn't the one that it's actually about. There was two young ladies that came in, Ella and Skylar, and they were best friends. And this was in North Dakota. And both of them were very, very precious young ladies, just very gentle-spirited, and just they were so glad to do this together, you know, to accept Jesus together. And they left, and I'd been real hesitant to ask them to come in because I asked them how old they were, and normally if they're 12, we don't take them in. But these two girls said, we have nothing to do, you know, if you're at a fair and you have no money. And they said, can we please see, you know. So, and they were just ready to receive Jesus. Well, 2 days later, I'm at the booth, and I'm standing behind, and I hear a voice say, is there a Kathy Davis here? And I thought, who knows me in North Dakota, you know? And I thought, this could be good or bad. Sorry. Anyway, and so I said, that's me. And she said, well, I want to thank you. And I said, well, what for? And she said, well, my great-granddaughter came in 2 days ago, and she came home after she had been to the fair, and Ella just kept talking about what happened at the fair, and she showed me this little paper she got at the fair, which we give a little spiritual birth certificate, and we sign it if we're the one that gets to share with them the gospel, and that's how she knew my name. And she told her where she had met me at, and she said, I just wanted to thank you. She said, I have been praying for her since she was born to receive Jesus.
Thank
and she
you, said, praying grandmothers.
Yes. And she said, I just wanted to thank you. But she said, how did this happen? And I said, well, we just ask people, you know. if they're 100% sure going to heaven, and the girls weren't. And she said, so all you did was ask. And I said, yeah, that's all we did. We just asked. So she just couldn't figure out how she could go to a fair and get saved. But that's how that happened. And so we asked the great-grandmother if we could take her picture. We didn't have the girls' picture. But so this is the great-grandmother that came by. And as I was thinking about all these, and my husband put all the pictures together, I thought, if it wasn't for a church that's behind us. I forget, we looked up recently how many years we've been coming to Bethel.
Since 92.
And since 1992. And you guys have been so supportive for the work of the ministry, and it's fruit to your account. You pray. In fact, I was just thinking of how God has answered prayer. Is lots of times I put it on the ladies group for you all to pray for us as we travel, and how God answers your prayers as we go. And I'm such a ball baby, sorry. I can't do anything without crying. Anyway, so I thought, this is fruit to your account.
Amen.
That every one of you are behind us and praying for us. And I thought of a couple of verses about that in Jeremiah, that call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And there's no way we can know what God is going to do. You know, you just go. And then hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray, in Psalms 5, 2. And I thought, as we went another time, like I said, it's just two testimonies out of so many. But I was thinking of just how big our God is and how he plans things that we can't even imagine. And he took a couple. Yeah, you can.
I did.
He took a couple and their kids from South Dakota down to the bottom of Louisiana to run on a route following the rodeo for 3 months. And he took a couple from this church, Krista and Dakota, that moved to the bottom of Louisiana. And she texted me when we were down in Louisiana and said, you guys are here. How long are you going to be here in Louisiana? And we told her, and she said, oh, it's too far for us to drive. And we said, we have 2 days off a week in Louisiana at the fair, so maybe we can come down and meet you guys. So a day was planned. And I look at that and I think, that's just, we just think, well, we planned a day. So we're going, and all along the way, there's no rest areas. 11 miles before we get to the place we're supposed to meet Krista and Dakota, there's a rest area. Finally, after 200 and some miles. And he says, do you want to stop? And we said, well, we're ahead of schedule. So, yeah, let's stop. As we pull into this rest area, there's a couple that has problems. And it's written on their van. So we just kind of walked past, but we seen they were over at a pavilion there, and we go into the bathrooms. And on our way out, as we meet, we said, well, we'll stop and see if it's legitimate. You know, you wonder that. And they had let them stay overnight, which they don't do in rest areas very often.
No, I understand.
And as you can see, it's a small family, young kids, and they had been robbed. And that the last rodeo, they'd been out, and so they were trying to get home. Well, they had had trouble, as we talked to them, three times throughout this 3 months, and a church had given them a Bible. In one of these times that they'd had troubles, and the girl had gone in, the woman, the mother, she had gone into the bathroom, and he was telling us about these troubles they'd had. And he said, and I told her, she's a pagan. And he said, I told her she needed to read that Bible. And so he said, she began to read it. And so he said, but we were still in a mess, you know. And so my husband offered to go get some gas, and he got in our car, and he got in their van, and she started trying to gather everything. I said, we got to come right back by here. He does. So don't hurry. I said, I'll just sit here with you, and they can go get gas. And we had prayed that morning. Mm-hmm. Speaking of prayer, my husband was praying, and he said, Lord, if there's somebody we can minister to along the way. Well, as we sit there waiting, I'd seen these two little girls, and I thought, they just need to know that God made them. So I kind of just started doing a Bible, like a Sunday school lesson with these two little girls. And she was just listening, and the little baby was just perfect over just playing in a playpen they had set up. And I'd look over at her, and I'd say to her is what I'm saying to the girls. And I didn't have my Bibles, but I had my Bible app. So I started showing her on the phone verses. And we started going through it all. And pretty soon I look over, because the girls asked me something, and she's just bawling. And she puts her head in her hands and just lays her head down and says, I need to be saved. And I was like,
amen.
Oh, Lord. And so, and I'm crying. I cry all the time. Anyway, so we're both bawling, and I just share with her what she needed to do, and she accepted Jesus. And so I talked to her some about growing, and she said, you know, they gave me this Bible, and she said, I've gotten to Luke in it. And so she had been reading and all of that. I feel like, you know, the Lord gave her this Bible. She's reading because they had trouble. And the Lord had just been preparing that heart, softening it. And unbeknownst to me, the man came back before Dan did. And as he got out, he just stood there. And he looked over at my husband and he said,
I think your wife had a heart-to-heart with my wife.
And he said,
they're both standing there still hugging and crying.
Yeah, and so unbeknownst to us, he said to us as he came up, he said, I've never seen her cry.
Yeah.
He said, she's never cried. And so, you know, it was just the Lord softening mm-hmm. her heart and just getting her ready. Yeah. But I told her as we finished, I said, Jacqueline, I said, think of what God had to do to orchestrate all of this. You from South Dakota coming down here. Us from Fort Scott, Kansas coming down here. And then going beyond where we were even going to be at because somebody asked us, Krista asked us. See, God used Krista.
Yeah.
You know, and them too. And asked us. And then I said, for us just to stop right now where you're at, you know, I said, he had to orchestrate so many things to get all of that done. And I believe that's because of prayer, you know, just praying. So anyway, just had to share.
So thank you all for your prayers and support. It's what keeps us going. Turn in your Bible, if you would, with me to Romans chapter 12. Those of you that are in the adult Sunday school, you may be familiar with this chapter. And I pray that I don't steal any pastor's thunder for... But I'm just going to talk about it. I'm not going to teach it. Romans chapter 12. I'd like to read just a couple of three verses here. Beginning in verse 9, Romans chapter 12. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us truth. For your spirit that guides us in all truth and helps us, Father, to put it into practice in our lives. Pray that you would just speak through me tonight. Father, just hide me behind the shadow of the cross. And Lord, just open our hearts that we might serve you fervently, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. To serve God fervently. He says not to be slothful in business in verse 11, but to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I've heard people take the first part of this, not slothful in business, and apply it, I believe, wrongfully just to their everyday life, to what they do. And yeah, there's a sense where we want to be fervent and do everything we can and do it the best we can in our everyday life, in our job that we have, kids that go to school, in your schooling, in everything that we do. But when you look at the context of this, he explains it in that verse. He says, fervent in spirit. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's the Lord's business he's talking about. I believe that we should be fervently serving the Lord, doing God's business, yes, in everything that we do, whether it's at our job that we work at, or whether it's at home, as we go visit someone, as we go to a Walmart or a grocery store, as we go to school, as we come to church, that we should be fervently serving the Lord. I believe there's two ways to go with that. One would be slothful in God's business. Turn with me, if you would, to another passage not too far away in the book of Matthew. Chapter 25, Jesus told a story there, parable actually, of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 25, verse 14, he said, for the kingdom of heaven says a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, we all understand in this parable, a talent is actually an amount of gold. Worth a lot of money at that time. Don't remember how many pounds or whatever it was, but it was a lot of money. But I believe we can apply this to the spiritual gifts that God gives us, the abilities that he gives to us. So to one guy, God gave 5 abilities, 5 talents, if you will, 5 gifts, if you will. And he said, use them for my glory. And that guy took them and used them for God's glory, and he gained 5 more. He doubled what he had. One guy, and by the way, in verse 15, he gives us a clue about something that I think is very important. Right in the middle of that verse, verse 15, to every man according to his several ability. I don't think he was talking about the man he gave it to, but it's God's several ability. See, it's not our ability that God can really use to do things, but it's God's enablement. He enables people like myself that are pretty much worthless. I mean, I'm a high school dropout and, you know, never did anything very good or very bad. That's why I got into fair ministry. Old joke, I know. Just fair. But God uses people even when they have nothing. In fact, until we get to the place where we can admit to God that we are nothing and we have nothing to bring to the table, then He rarely uses us much. It's those that really are humble enough to admit that they're nothing and He's everything that God can use. And this guy, he received five, or the one received two, and he gained up two others because he used it for God's glory. But then, verse 18, he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid it. He took what God gave him, and he dug down in the dirt and hid it from sight. I'm afraid there are far too many Christians that take what God gives them, abilities, talents, gifts, whatever you want to call it, and they bury it. They don't use it for God's glory. There's something else that's key here in this passage, I believe. Verse 25, this is when the servant that hid it, tells the whole tale. Verse 25, he says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that as thine. It was fear that caused him to sin, because he sinned by taking what God had given him and burying it. Now, I, many years ago, was a pretty good heathen, if there is such a thing. I was a really bad heathen, I guess. And when God called me to be His servant and called me to preach, I had nothing to bring to the table. I'd never been to Bible college. Really didn't know much about the Bible. I started reading the Bible just before I was saved because I wanted to win a game, Bible trivia, that I'd given my wife. That was the first real Bible reading I'd ever done in my life and had any knowledge of it. You know, if we take what God gives to us, even just small abilities, like the ability to hold a Bible in our language and read it every day, there are people all over this planet that do not have that ability. It's not free to do it in their country. It's not easy to do it anywhere. Some of them, they don't have one available even. If we take what God gives us, even these small abilities, and utilize them for God's honor and glory, He'll bless it. He really will. This guy, he hid it. And the Lord tells him that it was wickedness. Wow. Something to think about. So, that's one of the choices, is to be slothful in God's business. The other one, though, this other choice, I love it. And that's to be fervent in God's business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. We'll look at this real briefly here. Those that are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, in Acts chapter 6, there was a controversy because some people were not being taken care of. You know the story. So they had to choose some deacons, first deacons that were chosen there. In chapter 6 of the book of Acts, verse 5 says, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. They chose these seven people. Now, I've heard it said by some preachers that a preacher or anyone in the church cannot tell you what you need to do for the Lord. That's not true biblically. The church right here, they chose seven men to be deacons and do this job for the Lord. Okay? The Holy Ghost backed it up. When they prayed and laid hands on them, then they got anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this ministry that the church had decided they needed to do. And in verse 8, this is Stephen here. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He's just a deacon. He's not one of the great apostles.
He's not a prophet, a preacher. He's just some guy that the church chose to put into a place to feed the widows, to help somebody do something. That was what the deacons were doing right then, was just feeding the widows. They had a lot of widows, and they're trying to feed them. That was it. But this guy, because the church chose somebody and put him in a place of a position where they needed to do something, then God used him. Now, you might ask, well, was God calling him? Well, of course. God orchestrated all this, put it all together. He called those people. They hadn't been authorized yet, if you will, to do something. But here they got the authorization. They went for it. Stephen, at the end of this chapter and then the next chapter, we see that God is using him in a mighty way all the way to heaven as he lays down his life to die for his faith. First martyr that we see here in the book of Acts, man that died for his faith. And another one, Philip, he's the evangelist here. And another one of those that were chosen. We don't see him again until chapter 8. And chapter 8, he's walking down a road because the Holy Spirit said, hey, go down this road. And he meets a guy from Ethiopia, shares the gospel with him, and he gets saved. And then the Lord takes him away from there to Caesarea. We don't see Philip again until chapter 21. And he's in Acts chapter 21 in Caesarea. By then, he's got this church that was going, and things were growing there, and they needed more help. So the Lord sent some other people to help him. But he's got four daughters that are preaching on the streets. God has just really blessed him there. One of these seven guys that were chosen, they didn't hide what God had chosen them to do. The talent, the ability, the gift, they used it for God's glory and honor. They were fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So, I share that with you because I think there are a lot of us that don't serve the Lord fervently to our fullest ability. Now, when we first started ministry 37 years ago, I was younger. It used to be when we would take a trip and drive halfway across the country. We drove from here to California once, and you know, hey, big deal. Anymore, it's a big deal. I don't like driving long distances anymore. You know, a day in the saddle just that kind of really stoves me up, and I get out of the car barely moving and have to kick myself to get going. But I still want to do what God has called me to do. And that's what I'm going to share with you now, a little bit about what God has called us to do. In Tampa, Florida last year, the first trip of the year that we made, we went to our office in Tennessee, like we're fixing to do in a couple of weeks here. And we were there for a couple of weeks, and we went on to Florida. At the State Fair of Florida, we have three locations. There's two tents outside, and then there's you can kind of see the background picture there behind the writing. That's one of those tents that are outside. And then we have an indoor spot, so there are three locations. We had 56 workers last year. This year, I hope to have over 60 altogether. Over 1,000 man hours in 12 days to man those three locations so we could share the gospel with people. More than 25,000 pieces of gospel literature. Now, that includes a whole lot of our smiles, whole lot of those, mostly, and Bibles and other Christian literature. We go down a week prior to the fair because it takes a whole week to get things in place. It takes me about a day, usually at least several hours, when I go into the credentials department to get through the line, get everybody's passes, get everything squared away there. It takes us a day to get the two tents set up and another half a day or so to finish getting everything set out in them, the literature and all the tables and chairs. And then another day to set up on our inside spot. We can't do it all in one day. They don't allow us to. But it takes us a whole week to get things ready for that. After the fair is over, 12-day fair, 450,000 people to go through there. And we had 509 people this last year, 2023, that accepted Christ as their Savior. Whole lot of folks that heard the gospel that didn't. Then it takes us a week to tear down and clean it and pack it away for the next year. Then we go back to the office in Tennessee for a few days, and we'll come home. That's the way we did it last year. This is some of the people that heard the gospel there in the Florida State Fair. The lady on the left, standing by the four young men, she's in heaven now. Her name is Miss Claire Guimon. She has helped faithfully. She'd come out for a four-hour shift every morning almost, and unless she was sick or something, she'd be there every morning because she wanted to share the gospel. She saw these four young men walking down the midway there and said, "Hey, guys, did you get a smile?" And they came over, and she went through the three doors and asked them if they were sure of going to heaven. They weren't, and so she said, "Well, can I just show you what the Bible says?" Miss Claire, was 70-some-odd years old, 77, 78 years old. And so she brought them in, set them down, and shared the gospel, and all four of them prayed to receive Christ. She found out she had cancer about a month or a month and a half ago, and within just 3 weeks, she was in heaven. So she's seen those heavenly rewards now. But other people there that we got to share the gospel with, and we came back home for a few days. Our next trip in the spring took us to Texas, Arkansas, and Alabama. We had 253 decisions in Beaumont, Texas, the South Florida Fair, 61 in Texarkana at the Florida State Fair, 88 decisions for Christ in Birmingham, Spring Fest there. And in the midst of all this back and forth between these fairs and others, we spent 12 days at the office in Tennessee trying to get things squared away, contracts and insurance and all those other things. We took a side trip to Massachusetts to see our son Tim and their family for a few days. All together on this trip, we were gone just under 2 months, from March to May, 16 days of traveling, visited a dozen different churches, preached four times in it. This is some of the people that we met on this trip. Down at the bottom, this was in Texarkana, the mother there on the right, when her and her two daughters were coming by and we asked them if they were sure of going to heaven, "Oh, nobody can be sure except my pastor. He has never sinned." Now, the two daughters, they looked at her and they said, "Mom, everybody sins." But I asked them, I said, "So are you 50%, 75%, 100% sure that you're going to heaven?" They said, "Oh, no. None of us are perfect." I said, "Can I show you just a few verses in the Bible?" They came in, sat down. My wife got to share the gospel with them and led them to the Lord. They had never heard the gospel. They thought they were trying to be good. There's a lot of people trying to be good, but unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not saved and going to heaven. They accepted Christ. Praise God. Then we came home for a few days again. Our next trip took us in the RV. We went to Casper, Wyoming first, had 43 professions of faith there for Christ, in Minot, North Dakota State Fair, 119 decisions for Christ, 93 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a very hard place. I've shared this with you before, and this year was no exception. People just rush past back and forth. There are over a million people to go through that fair in 11 days. And we see a lot of them. I don't know how many, but we see a lot of them. And very few will slow down. We say, "Did you get us?" Because they're already gone. We don't have even time with a lot of them to even talk to them. They're just in a rush. They want to go do this. They want to go do that. But 93 of them prayed to receive Christ that did slow down. God stopped them. 50 decisions in Springfield, Illinois. And then we've asked you guys to pray for several years about Nebraska. We've been in a bad location, really, for years, in the 4-H building, just not much traffic and not a lot of people. They moved us this year because a casino came in. The casino took up part of the 4-H place and that they had things. So the 4-H took their whole building back over. And they kicked us out and sent us to the place we've been asking to go for 3 years. The main expo hall. And right across from what they call nitro ice cream, they freeze a 5-gallon bucket of ice cream in about 5 minutes with liquid nitrogen, just real fast. when it's done, it's just ice cream. I mean, you know, it's still ice cream. Didn't taste any different, but it was unique. So it's a big deal. And so we're right across the aisle from them. And there's always a line of people there. We were just astounded. We had 244 decisions for Christ. The first day at that fair, we had as many as we had all last year. It was just, we were amazed at what God was doing, bringing all those people. We drove over 4,000 miles in the RV, towed the car around with us, gone from July to September the 5th, and 10 days of traveling back and forth to all these fairs. This is some of the folks that were there. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a guy there in the middle. His name's Zach. He first came up with his girlfriend, which is on the right there, in the black sweater, I guess it was. And he told me, he said, you know, and until I met McKaylee here, and he said, she's a real nice girl, and I wanted to date her. And she said, if you're ever going to see me again, you got to sit down and read the Bible with me and pray. He said, okay. He said, I'd never seen the inside of a Bible. And at this point, when this picture was taken, he'd still never been inside of a church, ever in his life. 23 years old, never heard, did not know, never been there, never done that, just zero. And he said, but, you know, I wanted to date the girl, so I read the Bible with her. Hallelujah for girls that make the God read the Bible and pray before they go out together. So the lady in the pink there on the left, she actually came up out of the crowd and just encouraged them to come in. Praise the Lord. She was a believer. He accepted Christ, by the way, but never heard the gospel. 23 years old. We meet so many at so many places. Our next trip that we took, we got home for one day, parked the RV. We're here on Wednesday night. On Thursday, we left, went to Longview, Texas. Had 212 decisions in Longview this year. We left from there and went to Phoenix, Arizona. We were only there 2 out of the 6 weeks of that fair. It is such a long fair. It's crazy. But we were only there 2 weeks and then did a training, and God raised up other workers, and so I had somebody to take it over, and had a lot of workers there, praise God. And then we headed back and had to go to Jackson, Mississippi, because the guy that was going to do it canceled out on us. So I went to Jackson, saw another 134 decisions there, went to Little Rock, Arkansas right after that, had 119 professions for Christ, then to Shreveport, Louisiana, 84 decisions for the Lord. And this year in Shreveport, we had lots of rain out days, and just very, very low crowds. They'd had a shooting last year, and the crowds were just way down. Shreveport is one of the places, in fact, we saw something just before we got there, that Louisiana, the state, was the highest, most unsafe place in America, the most unsafe state, because there were so many shootings, robberies, armed robberies and stabbings and killings. We were kind of shocked. But people in Shreveport, they avoided that because it's in a kind of a bad area of town. So the attendance was way down. But we traveled back and forth. To go to Phoenix, it takes me 3 days. I did it in 2 days years ago. I can't do that anymore. I'm getting old. But stayed in 12 different beds as we traveled around. Visited 14 churches. Preached or shared at 9 of them. And God just blessed every step of the way. When I found out that somebody was not going to be at a fair, God provided for us to go to it. Then on the way to that one, that was Jackson, Mississippi, on the way there from Phoenix, got another call for the guy in Little Rock. I don't know if I can make it. Wait a minute. I don't have anybody else to send. He said, well, if I can get some help. And I said, I'll tell you what, as soon as we finish Jackson, because they overlap one weekend, as soon as we finish Jackson, I'll come up and we can help you that. Okay, yeah, we could make that. We can do that. So the Lord just provided every step of the way. Got to preach at a missions conference on the way, and just the Lord set up so many things and did so many things because of people like these right here that needed to hear the gospel. On the left there, the two ladies that are standing, there's three seated in front of my wife and the upper left, and the two that are standing there, that was another one of those amazing stories. They came by with their parents, and when they came by, then they didn't have time to stop, needed to go to the bathroom. That happens a lot of fairs. So we just tell them where the bathroom's at and say, give them a smile and say, hey, please come back, you know, and we never see them again. Well, here in about 10 minutes, they came back, and they brought Mom with them. Dad came up later, and he stood out front and talked to my wife. But Mom and the two girls came in, sat down. I got to share the gospel with them. And as I did, you could just see everything starting to click in their hearts. And finally, Mom looked at them and said, well, girls. And they said, we need to do this. And so they prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. As soon as they finished, then another one of our workers asked me a question. I had to go talk to him, so I didn't get to see the rest of the story. My wife did. They walked out front where the dad was at, walked out front with Mom. Mom says, girls, what just happened? They look at each other, and they start crying, we just got saved! They left right after that. And a few minutes later, maybe an hour or 30 minutes later, they came back with these three friends of theirs. They wanted them to hear the gospel. One of them came back 2 days later and brought two other girls with her to hear the gospel. It's amazing what God does sometimes. If one person will hear the gospel and really dedicate their life to Christ, what God will do, just kind of like the woman at the well. You've heard this one before. One drop of living water, you get an instant evangelist. Boom, there they go. Such is a blessing it is to see God work. And he's working all the time. Working all the time. For the year, we actually went to 17 events altogether. Amazing Grace, we had in the U.S., we had 178 fairs or events that our workers went to. The places that we were at, over 2,000 decisions for the Lord, over 9,000 in the U.S., and if I remember right, we've had over 9,000 overseas last year now, too. A literal army of workers, Amazing Grace workers, pastors, churches, individuals, and just volunteers that come out. Where we went, the events we were at, over 75,000 pieces of gospel literature, tracts like the Smiles. 800,000 smiles went out through AGM this year. An untold number. We have no idea how many people actually heard the gospel, but a lot of folks are getting to hear the truth of God's word. And for all of it, to God be the glory. Because you know what? Every one of those fairs that I went to personally and got to share the gospel with somebody, none of them got saved because of me. Not one. It was all the work of the Holy Spirit. We had people that like I said, the one man had just started weeping, man, I need this. We had people that came up and said, I've never really heard what it takes to be saved. I mean, we have people that come up and ask us, can you just tell me what I need to do? People that are searching, that are hungry for the Word of God, that want to know the truth. They're out there, and we meet them, seems like, all the time. Almost every fair that I go to, we talk to at least one or two that have never heard the gospel. So many that have never been to church. So many that they just need somebody to tell them. So that's our job. But back to Romans chapter 12, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. My question tonight is this: what about you? Are you slothful in God's business? Or are you fervent serving the Lord? What is God calling you to do? There may be somebody here, maybe many somebodies, that God has been speaking to and calling. In fact, by the way, just as a side note, I believe God calls all the time. Every time you see the sun come up, every time you see a beautiful sunset, every time you look at the stars at night, every time you see the sunshine, every time you see the clouds, the wind, the rain, the snow, the ice, God is the one that is speaking. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. God is always trying to get our attention. He's always speaking to us. Now, I unfortunately ran from God's call for 30 years. Unfortunately, I rejected, neglected, whatever you want to call it, the calling of God for a long, long time. When I finally surrendered to Him, that's really exactly what I did. I surrendered. I'd been fighting God, just shake my fist at the sky. I mean, I fought God. You know, the Bible says the gifts and calling of God without repentance. It's really true. You can fight God all you want, but you're going to lose in the end. I mean, I fought Him for 30 years, and when I finally surrendered, I was able to share this with so many people this year. I've taken to doing that. Some of the hard cases, you know, that we get to talk to once in a while, I'll kind of share some of my personal testimony. And I say, you know, when I finally surrendered to Jesus and accepted Him as my Savior, there's something I got that I never thought possible because I knew how wicked a sinner I was. I said, I got forgiveness. I'd never felt forgiven in my life. And I experienced the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It changed my life. And that's why we travel and love to tell the story, because of what He did for us. But again, what about you? What is God calling you to do? I want to tell you two quick little stories. One about a man that grew up in Hong Kong when he was 6 years old. Six, how many are 6 years old tonight? Anybody here that's six? Any six-year-olds? One? Okay. One six-year-old. Two six-year-olds. Three six-year-olds. Four six-year-olds. Did you know a boy that grew up in Hong Kong over 70, 80 years ago, that when he was 6 years old, he knew that God called him to be a preacher? And the rest of his life growing up, he did everything to make sure that he could be the preacher God wanted him to be. That was Pastor Billy Coe that ran the Christian Witness Center that's in heaven now. God used him. He traveled all over the world, shared the gospel with thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people, led thousands of souls to Christ, trained hundreds, probably thousands, that went back to China and started home churches. God used that man mightily. He was kind of one of my heroes of the faith. As I watched his faith and his faithfulness to God over the years, it just, you know, he wasn't perfect by any means, but he was a faithful man of God and impacted my life. I want to tell you about another one. That was a six-year-old that was called of God. I know another one named Jimmy Olsen. He fought God until he was about 50 years old. After he got married, started going to church with his wife many years after they were married. And he went to church for 18 years. 18 years. And he told us this. He said, every Sunday I go to church with my wife. I'd sit there, think, don't want none of this. 18 years he did that every Sunday, faithfully, faithfully rejecting Christ. And finally, it got to him. And so he ran forward one Sunday morning after going for 18 years at the age of 50, accepted Jesus as his Savior. And we call him Smiling Jimmy. He's homebound now. He can't get out and travel, but he's still Smiling Jimmy. Everywhere he goes, he just smiles. And I mean, the Jesus shine is on that man's face. People have told him that it's just something different. Why are you so smiling and happy, and why are you shining? And it's Jesus. But he fought God for many, many years. Can I admonish you tonight? Don't fight God. Don't fight Him. Surrender. Give in to the call of God. There may be a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 21-year-old here tonight. There might be somebody almost as old as me here tonight that God's been calling, knocking on somebody's heart's door. I got work for you to do. Every morning when you see the sunrise, it might be God knocking on your door. Every time you look at the stars at night, might be God knocking on your door. Every time, and it's coming, every time you see the snow, it's supposed to be here in a day or two, God might be knocking on your door. What's He calling you to do? Whatever it is, for the glory of God, surrender. You'll be glad you did. Pastor, I'm going to shut up. Get out of the way here. Thank you all once again for your prayers, your support. Like my wife said, we couldn't go and keep going if it weren't for you.
Amen. Wow. Thank you. Boy, that's so encouraging. What a challenge to be fervent in spirit. And I think if we want to have testimonies like that, we've got to pray. Anything about fervent in spirit, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to ask God. We want to see people saved.
Man.
We got to ask God and say, God, please use me.
Man.
Even today. Well, I know that you have a desire, so I'm going to let the ushers get to work in terms of, but you have a desire to be fellow helpers of the truth. So we're going to take up an offering and to support them. We just praise the Lord for the work that God has done to just through them through this past year, and what a great encouragement. What a way to kick off this emphasis on missions and evangelism. And it's not just about the regions beyond. It really is right here in our own Jerusalem and reaching out. So we're going to have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Ryan Lewis if you wouldn't mind praying for offering this evening.